Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The power of prayer. We're going to continue in 2 Samuel 15. The rebellion of Absalom has begun. David flees from Jerusalem. His servants go with him. He leaves 10 concubines at Jerusalem to tend the house. Ittai and 600 Philistines go with him. And as he is there crossing the Kidron Valley, actually which is right outside Jerusalem, and he's going to be ascending up the Mount of Olives, he gets word that his confidant, his counselor Ahithophel, has joined Absalom in the rebellion. If you remember, we studied Ahithophel is Bathsheba's grandfather. And he is a very bitter man. David prays that God would confound Ahithophel's counsel. And we're going to study this tonight as a man by the name of Hushai comes to David and is sent back to Jerusalem. Our text is 2 Samuel chapter 15, starting at verse 31. Let us read. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount, where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. Unto whom David said, If thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou shalt return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's house servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And hast thou not there with thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what thing soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them ye shall send unto me everything that ye can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. Let us consider this passage in verse 31. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Can you imagine how distraught he is at this time? He is fleeing from his own son, and now he finds out one of his dearest friends has turned on him. Here we have this very, very simple prayer. O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. See, he knows Ahithophel is one wise man. And if he starts to advise Absalom, who is very reckless at this point, he could really do some serious damage. And he lays it before God. Let's reflect for a moment on this prayer. It's short. Your prayers don't have to be long. David's prayer is short. David's prayer is very sincere. David's prayer is very specific. David's prayer displays his reliance upon God. This prayer acknowledges that God is available all the time to hear a prayer of a saint seeking his face. And this prayer was extremely effective, as we're going to see. Don't ever underestimate the power of prayer. O Lord, I pray thee. He prays this brief prayer, and in verse 32, it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, and behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. the bad news of Ahithophel defecting to the camp of Absalom moved David to prayer and worship. It came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God. Trials either move a person closer to or further from God. Do you draw close to God or do you get bitter? We must not get bitter. Ahithophel allowed himself to get bitter by what happened to his granddaughter. God answered that prayer. Take a look at verse 31, chapter 15, verse 31. And one told David, saying, and David prayed, O Lord. In verse 32, it came to pass when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshiped God, behold, Hushai the Archite came to meet him. His coat is rent, it's torn in distraught emotion. Earth upon his head, displays of incredible grief, agony. God knew David's frame. God knew that David surely had in his mind, this is all my fault. And God is sending great comfort right now at this terrible time. Hushai shows up. And what a blessing from God. Take a look at 1 Chronicles chapter 27, verse 33. We have a little bit of an insight here to Hushai. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion, a friend. And if he ever needed a familiar face, he just got word that one of his dear counselors betrayed him, and one of his dear friends shows up. Oh, did he need this man? I want you to think about this too. There are no coincidences with God. David is crossing the Kidron Valley with some faithful people. He gets the news of Ahithophel, but Hushai is not there. He does not know what David knows. He does not know that David just learned of Ahithophel. He does not know what David just prayed, oh God! And he shows up as an incredible blessing. Did you know sometimes you'll be a blessing and you don't even know how much of a blessing you've been? This man had no idea. He's an answer to David's prayer. And he doesn't realize it. He has been sent by God to David for the very task that David just prayed for. Please consider 2 Samuel chapter 17 now. We've jumped ahead two chapters. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Ultimately, Hushai is going to make his way back into Jerusalem, into Absalom's inner circle, and be able to give counsel contrary to that of Ahithophel and thwart the counsel as David prayed. This man does not even know he's an answer to prayer. All he knows is he's grieving, his clothes are rent, he's got dirt on his head, he shows up to David, and this man is the answer to his prayer. I want you to please appreciate what's going on here. Chapter 15, the first half of the verse. And one told David, Ahithophel's among the conspirators. Got it? Part 2 of that verse. David prayed. Chapter 15, verse 32, rather than worry, David worshipped. It came to pass when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God. So he heard the bad news. He prays. He worships. And the end, back half of verse 32, behold, Hushai came to meet him. I want you to please understand this. This man in chapter 17, verse 14, is going to be the one to thwart Ahithophel's counsel. Chapter 15, middle of verse 32, behold, pay attention, give careful attention to what just happened. This is not just any happenstance timing. David has bad news. It must have been like an intangible spear right through him. But he prays, he worships, and Hushai walks up. And David instructs him, we're going to see this, you go back. But I want you to truly think about this. When did Hushai begin to move? He was moving before David prayed. In other words, God was already answering the prayer before David prayed. Please read Isaiah 65, verse 24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. This is where David is. He just got the bad news. He prays, oh God, and he starts to worship, and the answer walks up. Behold, pay attention. Folks, there are times you are going to be grieving so badly, and you're going to be on your knees, and even before you got on your knees, God's already sending the answer. Before they call, I will answer. Now, can I add one more to this that I hope strikes in your heart, you never forget it? Think about the man who prayed this prayer. God, I am guilty of adultery and murder, and now my kingdom is threatened. He probably feels so low, he can't even hardly look up. And God says, David, you've already confessed it. I have forgiven you. I will hear your prayer. You can forgive somebody like me. Yeah. Not only can I forgive, I will move on. I will hear your prayer before you even ask it. I will send the answer before you even ask. Oh, I hope that simple but powerful concept you never forget. Because we're all sinners and we're going to make terrible mistakes sometimes. David, of course, how much worse can you get than adultery and murder? And God said, David, David, I answered before you even asked. I already had Hushai moving up there to meet you. What a God we serve, folks. I hope that is an incredible encouragement to you. Let me quote the commentary. When we moan and lament and go about seeking sympathy in our sorrows, we seldom get it. But God sends comfort to the trusting, accepting heart. Worship is the right way to receive chastisement. When a soul in sorrow can worship, there's no sting left. David might have been looking down on his forsaken capital, now possessed by his enemies, but instead, he looked up to God. From the Mount of Olives, he could have looked down and seen the city. Probably some of you in this room have been there and done that. I have. But he didn't look down there. He looked up. And behold, Hushai shows up. Verse 33. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. Well, there's a welcome. Glad to see you, David. You know, though, what we're going to see here with Hushai and David? True friendship. And a true friend, when you're really grieving so bad that he has come to you, he's torn his clothes, he's put dirt on his head, you're leaving the city, you can talk honestly, and people don't sit there and worry about who got their feelings hurt. Folks, that's a friend. When you can speak. Right now, Hushai, just listen. I don't have a lot of time for formalities right now. We're fleeing for our lives. And I might be a little blunt right now. I may be a little brash. I don't mean to be. But it's reality. The kingdom was at stake. Hushai was not hurt or offended. And he walked off. No, he didn't. David, what can I do? David was comfortable enough. Hushai, one of my dear, dear friends, here's what I need you to do. If you stay here, it's not good. I need you to go back to Jerusalem. Did you know we are equipped for different tasks? Only a few short verses earlier, Ittai was going to leave. He's the Philistine. And David said, no, 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 no. Don't leave. I need you to stay with me. Hushai shows up. He says, you can't stay with me. Wait a minute. You can keep 600 Philistines, but you won't let me, your dear friend, stay by your side? That's right. I have something else for you. But he didn't question it. Do you need that? I'll do it. Will I be a burden to you? I don't want to be a burden to you. Well, how can I help? Here's what I need you to do. Folks, we're different. Why God would allow some people to have certain skills is up to Him. And different opportunities. Surely a Philistine couldn't go back and weasel his way into Absalom's inner circle. But Hushai could. Verse 34. If thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been to thy father's servant hitherto. So will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Let's think about this. Hushai, I want you to go back, and I want you to tell Absalom that I am against David, and I am totally for you. That's a lie. Isn't it? Yeah. How can this be? And God's going to bless it. In previous passages, we've studied lies, deceptions, winking, smoke screens, deceptions. Servants, go get Bathsheba. And what are the servants supposed to do? Isn't that Uriah's wife? Go get her. What would you do? Listen, guys, I want you to go out there and battle with Uriah. And when I give the signal, everybody retreats so he dies. What would you do? Servants, I want you to take food down to Bathsheba and Uriah so they can have a romantic evening so they will think that that child is Uriah's, not mine. What would you do? We have studied some pretty tough issues here. You know, life is not always that easy. Well, you just do this. Yeah, the guy that just killed Uriah, what's he going to do to me? I'm next. That thou mayest defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. You want me to go back and get into the inner circle as a spy. The truth is, we're not going to develop that fully tonight. Next week we will. I can't answer that in 5 minutes. So next week we're going to get into this whole idea of David sending him back to lie. I need you to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Now this man had to think for himself. Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to go back and somehow I'm going to meet with Absalom and I'm going to convince him and work in my way into the inner circle to the point that I'm going to sit on the council that's going to advise Absalom how to conduct this rebellion, and he does it. And God blesses it and he overthrows, defeats the counsel of Ahithophel. You talk about a dangerous position. What if he is caught sending messages back through the priest's sons? Verse 35, and hast thou not therewith thee Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, thou shalt tell it to Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send unto me everything that you can hear. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city, and Absalom came into Jerusalem. So here we have this meeting of David with Hushai, and he sends him back. No bad attitude. You mean to tell me I walked all the way over here and you're going to tell me to go back to the city? He didn't do that. David, what do you need? What do you need? I need you to do this. I'm on it. A dangerous job. Very dangerous job. Well, David has left now 10 concubines in Jerusalem. He has Zadok and Abiathar, the two priests and their two sons, along with the ark back in Jerusalem. And now he has added Hushai back in Jerusalem among Absalom and the conspirators. He has with him the servants, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, 600 Philistines. And again, we can stop and ask, how come some people have to go back into that dangerous city? And how come the others get to go out with David to flee from the danger? I don't know why. God does what God has to do. It's for us to trust and obey. God is sovereign and we must trust. And yet the truth is, if you look in every situation, you can find blessings. If you stay in Jerusalem and play the game, if you will, you're going to have food. You stay with David, you're going to be scrounging around the countryside. If you stay with David, you get to escape from the immediate danger. You get to be away from Absalom. You're away from the battle. But if you're in Jerusalem, you have familiar surroundings. You have daily provisions. You probably have a bed to sleep in. Probably the lifestyle that you knew you're going to be able to maintain. There are some advantages. The people fleeing are probably going to be in some unknown territory. And if you look, you can always find blessings. So why does God allow some with this and some with this? Well, that's up to God. It's up to us to serve, to trust, and obey. And I want you to consider the people, the servants, because the Christian is to be a servant. I want us to truly think for a minute about the servants of David and how important it is. 2 Samuel 15:15, "And the king's servants said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever." David has not really no game plan at this point. He's fleeing on the spur of the moment for his very life. He hasn't been able to plan this. What do you want me to do? I don't know. Let's walk up the Mount of Olives. I don't know exactly what to do yet. Ittai comes. Here we are. Chapter 15, verse 21, "Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." Do you realize what a comfort this is? When these servants and these are saying whatever you need, and Ittai is saying whatever you need, even unto death. How about the priests, when they were told to go back? Verse 29 of chapter 15. "Zadok therefore and Abiathar carried the ark of God again to Jerusalem." You mean to tell me we picked this thing up, we carried it up this hill, and you want us to go back down? They didn't say that. "Yes, sir. Is that what you need? I'm on it." Hushai. He came. And David sent him back. Verse 37. "So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city." I'll go back. Do you want me to go back? I'll go back. They obeyed without complaining. And did not Jesus Christ set the example, who made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In this passage, we see the power of God. He answers prayer before we even pray. He had moved Hushai to be moving towards David. The right time, at the right place, he was the man. I want you to get this. God often uses people. He could have created a heart attack and Ahithophel would have been found dead on the floor. He didn't. In our thinking, that would have been the better way to handle it, and for some reason, God said, no, we're going to work through Hushai. He is going to go back, and he will defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. God uses people. We do not always understand, but that doesn't matter. We are to be like the servants. Whatever you need, we will do. Why God does as he does is his business. We're to trust and obey. When God lays something on your heart, do it, because you may be that Hushai to someone else in great need. And you show up not even realizing the situation. And if that person is grieving or in a tremendous trial and burden, and they happen to say something to you that might be a little bit abrasive, let it go. Let it go. That's a friend. The situation at hand is far greater than my little feelings. The kingdom is literally on the line. What do you need? I need this. I'm on it. God truly directs life's events. He truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he honors our obedience. God attends the funeral of every sparrow. Surely he cares for you. Well, we have touched upon Hushai being sent back to lie. We're going to cover that next week, because obviously it's in the scriptures. We must not ignore it.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.